chapter number 23. Also find Psalms chapter number 95. So Psalms chapter 95, just find that. But we're going to read out of Psalms chapter number 23. I desire your prayers this morning. Sometimes you get your tongue tied and feel like you can't talk. So we desire your prayers today. Psalms chapter number 23. We're going to start by reading verses 1 through 6, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I'll give you just a moment to find that. And then we'll go over to Psalms chapter 95. Psalms chapter 23 and verses 1 through 6. The Bible said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for letting us be here today. I'm thankful for the blessings of life. I'm thankful, Lord, for the beautiful sunshine, and we have many things that we are praying about as a church. We have a lot of sick people and things like that. Lord, you know each and every heart. You know each one. But Lord, as we come today, we want to ask that you'd speak to us from the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to have our minds and our hearts on your Word for just a little while this morning. And I pray that the Spirit of God would take and just apply to our lives, Lord, what we need most today. I pray you'd get glory and honor out of all that's said and done. And I really pray for your help today. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. Speak to every heart. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right, now I want to read out of Psalms chapter number 95. Just one verse. Psalms chapter 95 and verse number 7. And the Bible says over there, Psalms chapter 95 and verse number 7, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." We are, the Bible says there, notice it again, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Now, over the past four previous weeks, or really we had a couple of breaks in there, we had some visiting preachers, but I've been preaching out of Psalms chapter number 23. And we've seen the shepherd the first week, and we noticed some things about his life. We saw the sheep after that. We saw a sheep's life, the season in the life of a sheep. We went through a year in the life of a sheep. We saw last time what it meant to be a shepherd or shepherding, some needs in the life of the sheep. In verse number 1, back in Psalms chapter number 23, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Every necessity in the sheep's life is met through the blessing of the shepherd. And we noticed last week some needs that the sheep has in its life. If you think about being a shepherd today, being a shepherd is very personal work. You cannot be a shepherd from your office back at the ranch. The shepherd is among the sheep. He has to be among the sheep. He has to be out there. He cannot be a good shepherd and be away from the sheep and be absent from the sheep. He has to be among his sheep. His responsibility to the flock is very hands-on. He doesn't do this from afar, but he has to be right in the middle of them, and he has to be hands-on all the sheep. He will literally touch all the sheep in their lifetime many, many, many times. Now, the Bible says in Psalms 95 and verse number 7, it says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." And that's what I want to preach on today, what it means in the Bible when it says that we are the sheep of His hand. Think about that this morning. We are the sheep of His hand. It seemed like as I look back over the messages that I've already preached that the theme of, it seemed like every week we would come back to the thought of John chapter number 10 and verse number 11 where the Bible says over there that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I know I've said this many times over the past several weeks as well. I've said everything the shepherd does is for the benefit and the blessing of the sheep. And what I want to point out today is that every time the shepherd touches the sheep with his hand, it is a blessing to the sheep. We are, the Bible says, the sheep of his hand. And so I want us to look today and point out some things out of Psalms 23 one last time about the sheep. First of all, going back to verse number 1, the Bible says there, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I said a little bit about this a few weeks ago in a message, but I want to point out first of all, as we look at verse number 1, we think about how did we come to be His sheep anyway? He touches us, number 1 today, He redeems us by His touch. The Lord is my shepherd. I thought about this. I thought about the nation of Israel, and they are freshly delivered out of the land of Egypt. They've just passed through the Red Sea. And they are standing on the other side looking back from the land that they just came out of, Egypt, where they had been in slavery for over 400 years and where their enemies had chased them out of and had every intention. Pharaoh had every intention of coming upon the children of Israel and just killing all of them. And what they couldn't kill, they'd have brought back and they'd have put into slavery. And so here they are, and they're looking back, and they can see dead bodies floating on the water. And they can look back over 400 some years of being oppressed and being slaves and being humiliated and all the life that would go along with that. And you know the first thing the children of Israel did when they stood on the bank of the Red Sea over there and looked back over that scene? They gathered together and they sang a song. You say, preacher, what did they sing? Now, Brother Dale and I didn't. We didn't have a conversation about what to sing. But when he said turn to the book and what we was going to sing this morning, you know what we sang? We sang, redeemed how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They were redeemed out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. But the Bible says over in Exodus chapter number 15 and verse number 1, it said, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. And they stood there on the bank of the Red Sea and they looked back over where the Lord had just brought them from and they sang a song. They said in verse 6, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. They said in verse number 12, thou stretcheth out thy right hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. They had literally been redeemed out of Egypt. They had been bought out of the slave market down in Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. And they said that the Lord had led them forth. You see, that is the language of a shepherd there. And if you know anything about Moses, you know his pre-qualification for leading the children of Israel out of Egypt was God let him be a shepherd for 40 years in his life. And so they sang a song about being redeemed when they got over on the other side. I think about many years after that, and the children of Israel, they'd gone far away from the Lord, and the Lord had let them be carried away into captivity. And then after 70 years, God let the children of Israel go back, and Ezra went back and began to build the temple over there. And somebody had come to visit there where Nehemiah was, and Nehemiah was still away from Jerusalem, and he asked the news. He said, how are things going in Jerusalem? He wanted to hear some good news. But they had bad news. In fact, they had news that made Nehemiah weep. And Nehemiah got the news that Jerusalem, that the walls were still broken down and the gates thereof were burned with fire. And it so burdened Nehemiah's heart that he turned that burden into a prayer unto the Lord. And he said in Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 10, "Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand." And you can find that over and over and over again in the Bible, how that God redeems his people by the power of his hand. He's able to do that. He's strong enough to do that. When something is redeemed, that means that it has been bought back. Such as a slave down at the market. Somebody comes along and buys that slave and sets that slave free. That slave has been redeemed. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and I this morning through His blood upon the cross of Calvary. He made a way for you and I to be redeemed from the slave market of sin and no longer under the power of Satan anymore. We've been redeemed by His hand. I read a story one time about a little boy, and I've never forgot it. Many years ago, back in Little House on the Prairie days, and that little boy had got out there and he'd made himself the prettiest little boat you'd ever seen. And he painted it and he worked on it and he sanded it. I mean, he was just so proud of that little boat. And he got out in the stream playing with it and it got away from it and he lost his little boat down the stream. It broke his heart. He looked and looked and looked for his little toy boat. A couple of weeks later, he got to go into town and he passed by a secondhand store, and lo and behold, there in the window of the store was his little boat. He went home and he got all the money that he had and he brought it back to the store and he laid it down on the counter and he said, "I'm buying that boat." And he told the story about how it had gotten there, and he bought that boat. And he went home with that little boat in his arms and he just hugging it up to him. And he said, "You're mine, you're mine." He said, "You're mine because I made you. And you're mine because I found you. And you're mine because I bought you." Boy, he's happy to have his little boat back. And I'll tell you what, that's what the Lord has done for us this morning. Titus chapter 2 verse number 14 says about the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he has created us, he found you where you was, and he bought you. If you're saved, you're his today. Jesus said in John 10 and 11, he said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He redeems us with his hand." Number two this morning, he restores us with his hand. Look what it says in verse number three. "He restoreth my soul." Now the idea that he restoreth my soul, the idea is to return to the starting point. Praise God, the Lord, he's in the restoration business. We live in a throwaway world. We throw everything away. The Lord doesn't throw everything away. He restores things. The shepherd, the sheep said there, "He restoreth my soul." I was reading this week over in Jeremiah chapter number 18. And I love the picture stories in the Bible. And the Lord came to Jeremiah and he said, "Let's go down to the potter's house. I want to show you something down there." If you know anything about pottery and how it does, you know that's all that stuff's made by hand. And he said, "Let's go down to the potter's house." I want to show you something down there. And Jeremiah, the Lord took Jeremiah down to the potter's house, and there he was. He was working a work upon his will. And the Bible said that the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Whatever it was he had in his mind that he wanted to make out of that clay as he worked on it and molded it and raised it up off the wheel, he just seen it wasn't going to work. It was marred. It had a crack. It had a flaw in it. And I'm thankful this morning that the potter didn't just scoop it off the wheel there, and he didn't just throw it away. But the Bible said that it was marred in the potter's hand. So he made it again as seemed good unto the potter. I'm glad he doesn't just throw us away. I'm glad he doesn't just put us out on the trash pile. I'm glad he doesn't just set us on the shelf and forget about us today. But the Lord is so good. The Lord is so merciful that instead of throwing us away, he restores. That sheep said, David said there, he restores my soul. He restores us to the right path. When we get off, that's what that means. And it's talking about paths. There in verse number 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You ever got off the right path? I'm glad he can get us back on the right path. He restores my soul by getting me back on the right path. He revives me. He restores us by reviving us when we're cast down. Sometimes we get cast down. David said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." And sometimes we get down. And I preached on that. A cast sheep is one that gets upside down or gets on its back and it can't get back up. And the shepherd will come along and he'll roll that sheep back up and get it going again. I was over in Bethel this week, and I'd been working over there at the house, and I was coming home, and I was driving real slow up through there. Dad said, he got behind me last week coming to church, he said, "You're the slowest driving preacher I've ever got behind in my life. If you leave on time, you don't have to hurry." And I was riding up through there and I was enjoying the scenery and everything. And I looked out in the field and there's a man out there in the field and he was standing beside a little newborn calf. And I could tell he's trying to get it to get up. And he put his foot up near it and he got up and he was trying to scare it to get up. I don't know what the problem was, but I was watching that. And finally he got over the top of it. He reached down and he grabbed that calf under its front of its legs there and he lifted it up just a little bit and boy, it just took off through that field. That done my heart good. I said, that's how the Lord does us sometimes. We get down, I don't know what's wrong with us, but sometimes you just get down. And if the good Lord didn't come by and restore and revive your soul, even though there's really nothing physically wrong with you, you can't get up without His help. But thank God, I'm glad He comes where we are. I'm glad He finds us way out in the field or way out wherever we are, and He revives us and picks us up. We can get going again. And I mean that little fella took off just like there wasn't nothing wrong with you. You let the Lord come along and get you. He revives us. He restores us. He renews the sheep by shearing the wool. I preached how the wool is a type of a self-life. And He takes the burden that it's been carrying away and He shears it. And that wool is self and sin in our lives. He'll take those... He'll take that raggedy old sheep and he'll shear it real good and it'll look brand new. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Sometimes the burden we're carrying is just the burden of old self-life. And it's got us so weighted down we can barely get along. You get to the good shepherd and let him shear you up real good. You'll feel a whole lot better. He restores us. Number three, I look on down. He writes us. Look at verse number four. The Bible said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I want you to pay particular attention to what he said there. Thy rod. The rod, as we look at it, I look in the Bible. He writes us. The rod was a common shepherd's tool. The rod was a weapon that the shepherd would carry, and it was a little short club. It had a fat end on it, and the handle fit into his hand just perfectly. And the shepherd would carry that rod at all times. It was actually just he was so familiar with it, and he was so good at using it that it was really just an extension of his hand. And he could use it for defense. He could use it offensively. But he also used it sometimes to correct a wayward sheep. The rod in the Bible is a type of the Word of God. He could do many things with it. And if you think about it, do you remember when Moses went down to Pharaoh? And what did Moses have with him all the time? He had a rod. In fact, that rod was sometimes the rod was called the rod of Moses, but at other times it was called the rod of God. And it was used by Moses to express the authority of the Word of God. That's what that rod is a type of. It's a type of the Word of God. And the shepherd would use the rod upon the sheep many different ways and at different times. He could strike with the rod. You know, sometimes we just need to be hit over the head. I mean, poor old dumb sheep's getting ready to get down on the side of a cliff, and he's got a little piece of grass down there, and that shepherd would come along and bonk. You're going to get killed. You're going to fall off the edge. Get back. Sometimes he'd have a sheep that was so prone to wander that the shepherd would literally take his rod and break that sheep's leg. Are you saying the Lord would do that to us if it was for your ultimate benefit? Yes, the Lord will hurt us sometimes. The Lord will allow things to come into our life that might cripple us for the rest of our life, but it was ultimately for our good. But if God touches you in that way, let me tell you, when that shepherd had to do that to a sheep, he'd carry that sheep till it got better. That sheep would stay right by its side till it could go on its own again. And a lot of times that sheep that the shepherd had spent so much time with would become his pet sheep. Sometimes he'd have to use that rod to correct the sheep. At other times the shepherd used his rod to count the sheep. And if you look in the Bible, you find the picture of a sheepfold. And sometimes a sheepfold could be out in the wilderness, and they might just take some briars and roll them up in a circle and cause there to be an enclosure for the sheep to come in at nighttime. But every evening, before the sun went down, they'd bring the sheep into the sheepfold. And the shepherd would stand there, and he'd count the sheep with that rod. That's mine, that's mine, that's mine. 98, 99, where's that one? He'd use the rod to count the sheep. He would use the rod also many times throughout the year and throughout the week. The shepherd would go along, and if a sheep looked like there's something wrong with it, the shepherd goes over to that sheep and he'll inspect that sheep. He'll take that rod and he'll take that wool and he'll pull the wool back and pull the wool back and pull the wool back. He's looking for problems on that sheep. You see, that is just like the Word of God in our lives. The Word of God. How does God use His Word? Why do I need to be in the Bible? Why do I need to read the Bible, study the Bible? Why do I need to hear the Word of God preached? Because the Word of God corrects us. The Word of God counts us. Sometimes people come and they say, "Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not." If you'll get in the Word of God, you'll find out. It'll count you as one of His own, or you'll find out you're not one of His own. The Word of God corrects us. The Word of God counts us. The Word of God checks us out. What's wrong with me? Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, is what David said. Boy, the Word of God, it'll part your wool. It'll get down deep. It'll get down in there. It'll do for you what needs to be done. It will right you when you are wrong. Job said in Job 5 and 17, he said, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." I'm glad we serve a God that if you're His, He won't let you just go on and on and on and on down the wrong road. He will get a hold of you. You may go a long way, the wrong way, but what you'll find out is, like David in Psalms 139, he said, "Though I go to the ends of the earth, behold, thou art there. If I ascend up into the heavens, behold, thou art there. If I go down in the depths, there's the Lord. If I go in the darkest of the dark, I found out God was there." If you're one of His sheep, there's no length, height, depth. There's no place that you can go to get away from God. Boy, I've been a long ways away. I've been in a foreign country. I've been away from all my friends. I've been away from all my family. I've been in a place in my life where I could do anything that I wanted to do and seemingly get away with it. But you know what? I was saved. And I found out when nobody else was around, God was there. The Lord knows. It's like somebody said, a little book Chloe and I are reading, and about a little girl named Elsie, and somebody's trying to get her to do something wrong. And they said, "Nobody will ever know." And she said, "But God would know." He uses that word to correct us. And Job said, "Happy is the man whom the Lord correcteth." It'll make you happy. It'll make you glad. That sheep said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That helps me. He rights us with His hand. Number four this morning, He rescues us with His hand. The psalmist said there in verse 4, he said, "Thy rod and thy staff." His staff, you know what that is. We've all seen little Christmas plays, and we've seen Sunday school literature, and we've seen pictures of a shepherd, and he's carrying around a staff, and it's got a crook on the end. And that shepherd is not just carrying that around for Hollywood. But he has a real, it's a useful tool to the shepherd. A lot of times during lambing season, I've read about and heard about that the shepherds over in the Middle East, even today, they still carry a staff, and they'll get out there during lambing season. And boy, there'll be sheep out there by the thousands, and those ewes, and they're having their lambs. And a good ewe will have two and three lambs at a time. And it's very, very important that those lambs take to their mother so they'll get milk. If they become orphaned, that's a problem. It's very important that the lambs unite with their mother as soon as they can after they're born. And so can you imagine there's a thousand sheep out there, and man, they're all seem like having lambs at the same time, and there's nothing but lambs and sheep, and they're laying all over the place. And that shepherd can come along. See, he don't need to be touching that lamb because it'll get his scent on him. And it needs the scent of its mother. And that shepherd will come along with that staff, and if they're separated anywhere, he can come along and he can reach out and he can take that little lamb, get it right over there with its mommy so it can be in the right place. If you and I only knew this morning how many times that God has done something for us and we didn't even realize it. You didn't even know. That lamb will never remember that. It's like being a little baby. I'll tell you, these times when the Lord's come along in our lives and you weren't aware of it, you didn't know it, but He reached out to you. He worked in your life. He done something in your life to get you in the right place at the right time where you needed to be exactly at that time. And you were just as unknowing of that as a little lamb or a little baby was. He's a good shepherd. He uses that staff. He can use the staff in many different ways. If they're going along a treacherous mountain path and a sheep falls off the path, falls off a rocky ledge, the shepherd can come along and he can use that staff and he can reach way down there and hook that little sheep under the arms and get it back up on the right path where it needs to be. I like what it says in Isaiah 59 and 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that He cannot hear. He hears that little lamb down off the ledge just bawling and crying, "Oh, somebody come and help me." And the Lord never comes along and says, "You know, I just can't help that one." His hand's not shortened that it cannot save. He can reach way down. In fact, there's nowhere to go that he can't reach to. And that shepherd, he uses that staff to sort the sheep out. He uses that staff to pull them out of briar patches, to get them unhooked from rocks. And he uses that staff for all kinds of things. He can get it out of the water if it's about to drown. And it's no wonder that the sheep said there in verse number 4, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It's a comfort to know that you can be rescued by the shepherd, that you can be corrected by the shepherd. And sometimes the shepherd will walk along and he'll take his staff and there he's leading the sheep out and they're all walking together. And boy, this is a beautiful picture. He'll just take that staff out and he'll lay it on a sheep's back. And that's just a comfort to that sheep. Hey, that's the shepherd. I recognize His staff. I recognize His touch. Do you recognize the Lord's touch in your life? Do you recognize the presence of the shepherd in your life? Are you walking close enough to Him that you know His touch in your life? He rescues the sheep when He touches them. He remedies the sheep. Number 5 this morning, when He touches them in verse number 5, the Bible said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Look what it says. "Thou anointest my head with oil." Boy, I like that. That is a remedy for the sheep. I just want to read something. You can turn over there if you'd like to. I want to show you something out of 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'd like for you to see it in your Bibles if you'd turn over there, if you'd like to. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Now while you're finding your place, this is about when David goes out to fight Goliath. David has come not from West Point. David showed up where Saul's army was supposed to be battling the Philistines, and he did not come from military academy. He didn't come straight out of basic training. He came from watching over the sheep. He was a shepherd boy. And he said when he saw Goliath out there and something needed to be done, he said, "Is there not a cause? King Saul, I will go out and fight the giant. I've killed a bear and I've killed a lion." He was just a shepherd boy. But he's going out to fight Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 40. The Bible says this. Now, he had tried on Saul's armor and it's too big for him and he had never fought with it. And he said, "I'm just not comfortable with that. I've not proved them. I'll just go with what I got." And he said in verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand. Can you imagine how ridiculous that is? Here's Goliath on one side. He is a Navy SEAL. He is the greatest warrior the Philistines have ever produced. And he's over 9 feet tall. And here comes David. What's he got? He's got a staff in his hand. He's come fresh from the flocks. He's a shepherd boy. That's all he's got. No, that's not all he's got. He's got something else. The Bible said he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag. That's what I want you to see. He had a little backpack, little side pouch. He put those five smooth stones in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now that shepherd's bag, do you know what that's called? That was called a scrip. You know what that sounds sort of familiar to me. We have a word that sort of goes along with scrip. And it's scripture. That's where we get our word scripture from. He put what he was going to kill the giant with, he put it in the shepherd's bag in a scrip. He's going to get it out of there. You see, the shepherd carried a bag. And in that bag, he had all kind. He had not only, you know, he had a Cliff bar and a little bottle of water and, you know, some raisins or something like that. But he also had remedies for the sheep. He had things for the sheep when they would get sick and when they would need. And one of the main remedies that he carried along with the bag, maybe in the bag, was a horn of oil. That oil in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. And what the sheep needed more than anything came out of or from beside of the Scripture and was applied by the shepherd to the sheep. And that oil had a lot of uses. There's a certain time of the year where the flies and the mosquitoes and things like that would just literally drive the sheep crazy. And if they didn't have some relief, it'd end up killing them. The shepherd would know that a sheep is being bothered. Sometimes he would go out and, well, it's just the time of the year for one thing. But if he would go out and see, sometimes he would see a sheep that was out there literally beating its head on a rock or on a tree. It's trying to get stuff out of its nose. That sheep needs some help, or it's going to die. And I'm telling you, there's some things in this life that get on us, and if we don't get some help getting it off of us, it'll kill you, it'll drive you crazy. But that shepherd had some oil, and he had some spices that he'd mix together with it, and at a certain time of the year, he'd go through and preventive measure, just anoint the whole flock. You know, every once in a while, we just need a good old revival where the Spirit of God comes through and just gets all over every one of us and changes us and helps us and gets the devil and the things of this world that are killing us and driving us crazy, just gives us some relief for a while. We were in Idaho one time and driving along, was in a rental car. And Brother Wayne Tucker was showing us around the outskirts of Yellowstone. And we were driving out there on a dirt road and just out through the country, and we saw a bear. What do? First thing, slam on the brakes, jump out of the car, and run around the front to look at that bear. That's a smart thing that mountain people does. So we jumped out of the car, we ran around, we left the doors open and everything, and we no longer got to the front of that car. Kim and the youngins is still in the car. And I hear her scream out, "Close that door!" And the mosquitoes were so thick, they immediately filled that car up. And about the time she yelled, I realized what the problem was. I mean, they just, boom, all over us. And man, if they don't like nobody, they like me. They started biting. Man, we jumped back in that car, slammed the doors, and we was killing mosquitoes going down the road, mashing them up against. It's a rental car, you know. I bet when they cleaned that out, they thought, what in the world? We'd kill mosquitoes. But you couldn't live like that. This world will drive you so crazy sometimes, you just can't live like that. I'm glad we serve a good shepherd that can come along and just help us with that. By the anointing of oil and spices and a certain remedy that he would apply during times like that, he would also watch the sheep for cuts and abrasions and wounds and limping and rashes and things like that. And he would use the oil as a ointment. Sort of like we use Neosporin or something like that. When he'd find there's a place, there's a wound on that sheep, he could come along, he could put something on it, keep it from getting infected, keep it from getting worse, help it get better. There's times in this life, there's things in this life that wound us. I mean, there's problems. I'm talking about serious problems. I'm not talking about going to the store and somebody cuts you off and it makes you upset. I'm talking about growing up as a youngin' and being abused. I'm talking about somebody telling something on you that wasn't true. I'm talking about there's things in this life. People are mean. And it wounds you. And if you don't get some help from the Lord, it'll affect you your whole life. But I'm glad he's got some oil that he can put on some places that nobody else sees. And it'll really help heal us up over what's happened to us in our lives. He would also use the oil. Sometimes I read about one shepherd, and during rutting season, that's when mating season, and the bucks are getting ready to mate, and they all of a sudden turn real aggressive, and they start butting one another. And one shepherd come up with the idea. He got axle grease and rubbed it all over the sheep's horns and head. And he said it was sort of funny after that. He would do that when he seen that time of season coming. And then when they butt each other, they wouldn't kill each other. And they had the potential to do that. They could really hurt one another or kill one another. He said after he anointed and put that oil on them, he said they'd just sort of glance off of each other. And they'd turn around and look at each other like, what was that? And it calmed them down. The Spirit of God helps get off of us the things of this world that's driving us crazy. Covers up the wounds that nobody else can see and mellows us out. Do you know sometimes in church we get to butting heads. But if it wasn't for the Spirit of God, we couldn't get along 5 minutes. Thou anointest my head with oil. And I tell you something, it just make them smell better. If it wasn't for the Spirit of God, you'd stink. Can you imagine being out with an old sheep, been out in the wet and been out in the dirt and having to live with that every day? I'd be looking for them some old spice too. And just make them more pleasurable to be around. And if it wasn't for the Spirit of God, nobody could stand you and nobody could stand me. If there's any good thing about you, it's because of God's Spirit mellowing you out in your life, making you desirable, making you likable, making you peaceable. That's the work of the grace of God in your life. That sheep said, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Whatever it is I need in my life, the good shepherd, he's able to supply that. And one last thing I'll show you and I'll be done. Verse number 5, he not only said, "Thou anointest my head with oil," but number 6, he rewards us. He said, "My cup runneth over." Now when he said, "My cup runneth over," there's a few ways that a sheep's cup can run over. The shepherd, you know, they didn't just go out and turn on a water faucet. Sometimes they'd get out somewhere where they had to dig a well out. And it's not like you see on TV. I mean, they would literally have to dig a hole in the ground or maybe a place out of a rock. And a lot of times that shepherd would have to unrobe, crawl down in there, get big pitchers of water or something and bring it out, and he'd pour it in a trough. That's what happened in Genesis 25 and when Abraham's servant went to find a wife for Isaac. She watered the camels. She had to go and she had to literally get that water, and she'd bring it out and she'd put it in a trough, and she filled the trough and watered all the camels, and they'd fill the trough up till it was running over. And the sheep had had a hard, hot day out in the sun and coming in the evening, and in order to lay down and rest that night, just get a good drink of water. Get all you want. It's running over. Sometimes there wasn't a place to even do that, and so the shepherd, he'd just have a pitcher, and he'd get a pitcher out, and that sheep would come in the evening, and he'd let the sheep just stick its old nose down in there. He'd stick its nose down in there. Its cup would literally run over. The water would run out. And that old sheep, at the end of the day, he said, "My cup runneth over." All the hard things of this day, being out in the hot sun, all the bugs, all the problems, all the things I've gone through, and now the last thing at the end of the day, I got to look back and look down at what I've got and just say my cup runs over. Boy, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's not a thing He's left me out. When we use the phrase, and the phrase is used today, when somebody says, "My cup runneth over," what are they talking about? My blessings. I am blessed on every hand. Kim loves to watch these home improvement shows. I wish she wouldn't, because she's all the time thinking of things that we need to do around the house. But we was watching one the other night, and this couple, they got a new house, and it's all redecorated and everything, and they bring them in. You know, you got to wait till the very last 3 minutes to see what it looked like. Well, they's interviewing them, and they asked the lady, said, "How do you like your house?" And she said this. She said, "My cup runneth over." I said, "I bet you she knows the Lord." I'm just so thrilled. My cup, that's what it is when you are so thrilled. And you look around at all that the Lord has done for you, and you just, "Hey, what can I say about it? My cup runneth over." I look around. I think about today. I see my family. Yesterday we had Chloe's 8th birthday party. Her family was there. Our parents was there. Their grandparents, aunts, friends. My children were there. I look around. I see my children and see how God's blessed me. And I just look around and I say, "Boy, my cup runneth over. I'm so blessed." I look around the house of God. I come into church this morning. I sat down. The choir started singing. God started speaking to my heart. I was thrilled. My cup is just running over. That's the Lord. David said this. He wondered to himself in Psalms chapter number 116 in verse number 12. David said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." How can I be a blessing back to the Lord? What can I give the Lord for all of His benefits? For my cup running over, what can I do? He said, "I'll just take the cup of salvation. And I'll just call on the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for blessing me." That's what he said. That's what he meant. I cannot study Psalms chapter number 23 without thinking about my grandmother Greer. She loved it. This was her favorite passage of Scripture in the Bible. And I can remember many, many times growing up, she'd want to recite Psalms chapter number 23. She had a little bit of a theatrical flair about her. Always tried to use proper language, and boy, I can hear her, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." She'd sit there and she'd recite the whole thing. She'd get down the end. She'd say, "This is my favorite part. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When she died, I preached that at her funeral. I'm not 101 like Brother Dwight, but I'm more than halfway, probably to the end of my journey. And I can just look back this far and say, "Surely, goodness and mercy's followed me all the days of my life. Boy, He's been there and He's rescued me and He's helped me and He's touched me and His hand has been real in my life."
I believe it'll be all right from here on out. And one of these days I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's no losing for one of God's sheep. It's all on the winning side. Even through the valley of the shadow of death and everything else, he said, I'm comforted because I know he's with me. I know he's with me in all of these things. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.